The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, Shellhead Comics and More, shellheadcomics.com. Please, please check out our wonderful sponsor. Go to shellheadcomics.com and check out all they have for sale, from new toys to vintage toys and so much more. Check them out at shellheadcomics.com. Welcome my co-host, Dave Draper!
Yay!
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's like 73 degrees.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So gorgeous. My friend, right before I came here, my friend Molly sent me a text, and it's like, this is what's outside my window, and it was like all snow.
Where she lives?
She lives in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Like, well, you wouldn't think
yeah.
be that radically, but I'm like, it's 68
yeah.
degrees and sunny. And then my phone updated, and it was 73 degrees. I'm like, oh, well.
Never mind, it's 73.
Oh, it's just gorgeous today.
Yeah, it's been beautiful this week. We had a couple weeks there where it was really... kind of cold and chilly.
I'm hoping we hit that last sort of little gasp of winter this weekend.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and we can turn off the heater finally.
Yeah. I say the window in the office up here has been open all day, and I've been enjoying the fresh air.
I had the back door and the front window open, airing out the house.
Yeah, listening to all the sounds outside, and every once in a while you'll hear cats fighting, and I'm like, ugh,
sure.
Cats are fighting in my bushes. Cool. Now I must go separate our strays.
That's what you...
What happens when your house?
Yeah, that's what happens when you're the crazy cat house.
Pretty much. Hey, we like it though.
No, whatever.
Yeah.
Not judging.
Oh, fair
I'm
enough.
Judging a little, but okay, I mean, you know, whatever.
I tell you what, I've been kind of pumped. This you know, we're.
Are
week.
You hype? The kids today say hype.
Hyped.
You hype?
Hello, hyped.
No, you say hyped. You don't have the D.
Oh, hyped.
You hype. Are you hype?
I can't say it. Just hype. I want to add.
You got to be cool. You got to go. Got to get the youth of
never,
America.
Never claim to be a cool man, sir. Not
once. You've always claimed to be a cool man.
No, I don't think that were. I don't think those words ever slipped past my mouth.
With the shades on, your little leather jacket, you're always like, "Hey,
you just dated yourself horribly." Some of our younger fans.
I did it on purpose.
Some of our younger fans now are like, "What's he taught? What's that?"
That's the dad from Holes. That's what that is.
That is true. I'm. It's been very. It's been kind of cool around here. It's. WrestleMania weekend was this past weekend for me. That's always a big time of the year.
My Facebook feed exploded from one Mr. Daniel Erdley posting every single thing he saw.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Danny's...
It was like, this match! Now it's this match!
Because
he was apparently like getting psyched up for the whole thing, so he's watching all these past classic wrestling
matches. Yeah, they were watching a bunch of old WrestleManias. And
I never knew that that Hogan had fought Austin. That one I'd like to see.
Did he fight Austin?
He posted one where it was Hogan and Austin.
No, it was Hogan and Rock, I think.
No, maybe. It was Austin.
Austin and Hogan have never wrestled. Not to my knowledge.
Well, see, not to my knowledge either. That's why I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
I
think, well, maybe he mistyped. I don't know.
He may have. He very well may have.
It's not like that guy knows anything about wrestling.
But no, it was WrestleMania weekend. It was a lot of fun. The Hall of Fame was on Saturday on the WWE Network, and I watched that, and Carrie wasn't feeling good, and she ended up going to bed early, and I stayed up and watched that until, I don't remember what time it ended, like 11 or something. It was like 4 hours.
What, WrestleMania?
No, the Hall of Fame. But WrestleMania was 4 hours, too.
Yeah, that ended fairly early, because people were talking about it by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it started at 6, ended at a little after 10, but it was a good show. It's always funny every year to see people complain about the build-up to WrestleMania, and people are always like, ah, it's going to be an awful WrestleMania, it's horrible. And then this WrestleMania happened, and I don't think there was one really terrible match on the whole card. I think it was, from start to finish, a really good show. And, they did a lot of cool stuff. So, and then last night was the night after WrestleMania on Raw is always a show that people need to watch, because the crowd is usually made up of about 70% overseas people, because it's, you know, it's a huge draw for people to come overseas for to WrestleMania. And those crowds are the most vocal crowd of any Raw throughout the year. I mean, they are, without a doubt, the most vocal. To the point where they hijack the show with their chants. from We Are Awesome to they just start chanting whatever they feel like it and hijack the show. Last night it wasn't a whole
foreigners.
Lot. Well, yeah. Last night it wasn't a whole lot of it because the show actually, the Raw after WrestleMania was really, really good. And they did a lot of cool stuff there, too, from Brock Lesnar just losing his crap and going batshit crazy. Because he lost, for anyone who hasn't watched WrestleMania yet, spoilers, he lost the WWE title on WrestleMania night, but he never got pinned. He was facing,
I have no idea.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah, him.
Yep, he was facing Roman Reigns.
That guy.
In the main event, and then the Money in the Bank winner from this last year, Seth Rollins, cashed in towards the end of that match, pinned Roman Reigns, and won the title. So, Brock Lesnar went crazy, took out the announce team, like, dumped the table over on them, like, just the whole thing crashed it on them, attacked Seth Rollins' security guards, because Seth Rollins basically ditched him, and ducked him and wouldn't give him a return title shot. And then poor Michael Cole tried to escape, and Lesnar grabbed Cole, put him in the ring, and did his finishing move to him, and then Lesnar attacked the cameraman and did his finisher to that guy twice, and it's just like, this is going to be a good night for Raw.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. WrestleMania is always a lot of fun. And then, of course, we Carrie and I were out and about on Saturday and stopped to have lunch with this guy to my left here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you already forget about having lunch?
No, I didn't forget about having lunch.
I was like, good guy. You were like, yeah.
I didn't think that was like an epic story to tell. Nah. We sat around Red Robin and you guys watched the women's NBA tournament.
That's the problem with going to those places is that there's always a TV right over someone's shoulder. So in my ADD I see movement and I have to keep glancing to go, what's happening? Which is awful because then it feels like I'm not paying attention to you and I am, but it's just my ADD is like shiny. So that was cool. It's we're a week out from JoeCon at this point.
Yeah, it was funny. Like we, I don't know if we like, predicted it. We talked about how it would probably, well, because they said it was going to go up on Tuesday or Wednesday. So it went up the day after. So we recorded this whole show about all the problems they had with registration, and it goes up the day after. We record, and the day before we release the episode.
Yeah.
So it was like the ultimate trolling.
Well.
No, I mean, not really.
It was never intended that way.
No, I mean.
But, and we were very.
No, that's trolling them trolling us.
Right. Yeah, them trolling us. You know, we're always. We discuss something like that. We always try to be very considerate and understanding issues.
I think we were fair and balanced. Coin the phrase.
Yeah, and it was a strong talking point. But yeah, of course, the day after, it's boom.
It went up, and it was. I thought it was very smooth, and it it was funny because I had said on the show, why don't they just make it part of their normal
store?
Yeah, and that's what it was. Really, it was just their store, and you just order the stuff and. I mean, they had systems in place because I accidentally misclicked on the golden ticket thing.
And they told you that.
And they told it was sold out.
Yeah.
You know, and this was like maybe 2 minutes after it went up. It was real quick. People have said 8 minutes, but I think I got in faster than that.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people say 8 minutes, but I wonder if the time zones, if people got emails early.
Could be. Maybe people got in early because of the time zones.
Could
have
been, yeah.
But like, it went fast.
Yeah.
Point being.
Because there were only, 100?
Only 100, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I was like, no, I don't want that because I don't want to pay the extra $300.
Dave's like, no,
no. I got my thing, and then I got an extra set to.
Yeah,
I've already got people. I already got people asking about those. So
about that extra set of
the extra set. Yeah,
it's how it usually goes with that convention, though.
And I'm always like, I always gotta go look, man. I gotta make my I did the math, and those are $15 a figure for the loose set.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna make my money back off of it.
Yeah, so.
So I mean, I'm sorry, You could have joined the club and registered too, so I'm technically not scalping.
That's true.
Just saying.
But yeah, JoeCon, we're a week and
It's gonna be fun.
Just over a week away. It's gonna be fun. Yeah, I know. I think I took like Thursday and Friday off, but I think I'm just gonna keep Friday off because there's no reason for me to have Thursday off next week because nothing really happens on Thursday, right?
It's just registration in the club store.
Yeah. So I mean, by the time it opens, I'll be off anyway. So
yeah, basically.
So
you can sit around and watch the general nonsense and confusion of where do we stand in line for this and where do we go for that and what happens here and what happens there.
which I probably will, honestly, just because I want to see what happens.
The New Orleans, maybe the New Orleans one was just epically badly run because it was very confusing.
It was very confusing.
And then, because they had to fill out the form, we were in this line, in this hallway, and it was New Orleans, and it was
hot.
Oh, it was awful.
Yep.
I'm actually going to bring some water just in case.
Good point.
because it was bad, and we were in that line forever, and I was really worried about Wheeler. I'd get worried about myself, but I was worried about Wheeler.
Yeah.
So, and then the other time I golden ticketed it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Which good. Is the one, I mean, it's not worth $300, but it was still very nice.
Yeah.
To yes, nice. Yes, it was very nice. Not $300 nice, but
it was nice.
It was nice, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I know, you know, it's, I'm very anxious to see what the dealer floor is going to look like with all the complications.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
I have seen a number of dealers that I follow on Facebook have said that they'll be there. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of dealer presence there. I'm just wondering how big the actual show floor is going to be. Although, the dealer registration didn't open up until Thursday or Friday, I think.
Thursday. It was the day after, I think, regular registration.
So, I mean, they still had plenty of time. And anyone that was going to set up at JoeCon had already basically cleared their calendar anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Again, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I don't know how these conventions are run, but I am kind of genuinely surprised that dealers have to register.
Well, and that's...
I would think there would be some kind of other process for that.
I would think so, too, but maybe this was the easiest for FunPub to
I guess,
do it.
Yeah.
I know where other ones, like with Wizard World and with C2E2... There's a separate thing to be an exhibitor.
That's what I would have thought.
And that's pretty much open, I think, most of the year, I think, leading up to the convention. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see what the dealer floor is going to look like, and as that's probably where I'll spend the majority of my time.
Where I spend the majority of my time at JoeCon.
Yeah.
That's where I'll spend. Well, I mean, that's really all there is to do Friday, is the dealer room. You know, if you're taking care of business on Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there. I kind of like that there is that sort of rhythm to it, and I've always said that. I like that it's like Thursday you do this, Friday is the dealer room for the club members.
Yeah.
Saturday, you know, it's kind of open admission, but it's also panels.
Right.
And then Sunday is kind of... the two times I've gone home on Sunday, so it'll be weird to sort of hang around on Sunday and see what the deal is with that.
See what's happening, yeah.
Apparently that's when you can try to win free admission to the next one.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, come on away.
I haven't decided if I'm going to go Sunday yet or not.
I might go just because I've never gone on a Sunday, and, you know, what the hell? I might try to take a shot at it, because, I mean, I literally can't be Mike Irizarry'd.
No, if that's I win, true, yeah.
Because it's in Springfield. It literally cannot be any closer to me the next, you know. Yeah. And my guess is after all the fuss, it'll be like, you know, Los Angeles or San Diego or Orlando again. So
someplace crazy again.
Someplace far away from the Midwest. The horrible Midwest.
Far, far away.
Although I will say, have you gotten out much today? Oh, you did. You said, because like one thing I've noticed, and for those of us, you know, for those of our fans who are coming to JoeCon, and maybe for some of you like Mike Irizarry who's listening to the show, oh my God, did Springfield Public Works like come out of its hole today tear up every road.
Yeah.
Like three times. I'm not kidding. Three times, including on the way over here. Yeah, I'm just driving along doing my normal, and it's like your lane ends now because we're doing construction. You're like, oh my God.
They tend to come, I mean, because around
but
here.
But it was everywhere, dude. Like, coming back from Meijer, the road was closed, and then I get to Isles, and the road was literally totally closed off. So I had to, like, go around. And then driving up here, the road was closed. It's like, and that was rush hour traffic, so that was fun trying to get over quickly.
No, I saw a little bit of traffic. There is some construction going on downtown. Well, there's quite a bit going on downtown.
I don't know about downtown. I was going to say, I don't know about downtown, but the West End is like all tore up.
Well, it's that time of the year. They're fixing potholes and all the good stuff.
Yes. Madness. So just be prepared.
Yeah.
There's one more thing you can hate about this convention.
I find it interesting, though. We move on from JoeCon, as we'll talk probably a little bit more about it here in a little while.
You think?
Yeah, probably. We all know that San Diego Comic-Con tickets went on sale. They sold out. You know, all the...
What?
All,
yeah,
all
really?
The, yeah, all the San Diego Comic-Con stuff happened. But just last week,
the hotels went
the
up.
General hotel sale went up. And boy, was it an epic failure on every level, apparently. Now, understand that Dave and I haven't been back to San Diego Comic-Con.
The two times I went, I just got my own hotels. I just got hotels. There wasn't like a whole thing you had to jump through. It was just, I got a hotel.
Now, since demand outweighs supply, they have a whole system in order where you can't just like... They'll open up hotels on like April 8th, I think. They'll just open up a bunch of hotels. But from a certain time to a certain time, you literally cannot go on... and call a hotel and book a room for that weekend, because every hotel in San Diego, from what I understand, is locked up. Like, they don't let you book. There used to be able to go around the system and book hotels and be like, oh, we're coming in to see family. You know, what is this, Comic-Con?
What if you were coming in to see family?
You're SOL.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much. You have to book for that week. You have to book your hotels unless they open up rooms through this system, because it's the only way you can get them. Which, again, is another ridiculous, ridiculous thing for San Diego Comic-Con, which makes me despise and hate San Diego Comic-Con even more, just because it's so...
I don't hate it, but man, am I glad I'm not going.
It's so unattainable now for so many people on so many different levels that it's frustrating.
It's amazing, because I was just reading... A little stream of consciousness, but I'll get us where we're going. Hmm. Is Mark Hamill is reprising his role as a trickster on The Flash tonight?
Tonight, yeah, while we're recording,
which I'm very excited about. But he was talking about, like, in the early, when he was really young, he went to a Comic-Con and it was still in the basement of that hotel.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how crazy this thing's gotten.
It's gotten so big.
It's gotten out of control. I really thought it would start to die off.
Bubble would burst after Twilight. The bubble would burst.
Yeah, well, not even necessarily. Twilight was always a weird parasitic thing, but I just thought that people would just lose interest in the nonsense.
Well, and I think it's
and you know, this year Disney's not going to be there.
That was what
Marvel's
I was
not going to be there. I mean,
Marvel Comics will be there.
Okay, I wasn't 100% sure about that. I knew Studios wasn't.
Comics will be there, but Studios will not. We'll get back to the hotel thing because I want to talk about it for a little bit. But yeah,
okay, fair enough.
Disney I don't even think Disney themselves is going to be there as a studio. Like, they've just pulled everything out because...
Well, they have their own thing.
In August, D23 happens, and they're saving everything for D23, which is smart because they are trying to make...
No, it's not, but go on.
For them, it is, because they're trying to make that convention a must-see, must-go-to convention, even though it's all about Disney.
It's a tactical move. I'll give you that. I don't know that it's smart. Because Comic-Con... Literally, if you think about it, and this might be overplaying it, I may be overstating it a little, but the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe owes its success to Comic-Con.
I agree.
Because Comic-Con made Iron Man, and Iron Man was the cornerstone of what we have today.
I agree. I do not disagree with that statement at all, but Disney sees it from a different light, apparently, where they're why would we do that when we could just take our guys to Anaheim?
Because I don't see anywhere near the hype about D23.
I think the hype coming out of that show will be just as big, because they'll reveal Star Wars stuff.
Star Wars, yeah. Oh, Star Wars is not going to be there? Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, Star Wars isn't going to be Comic-Con either. It's Disney now.
Well, maybe that'll do it, because, I mean, Avengers will already be over, so you can't even ride that hype.
Right.
Well, actually, they'd be over in July anyway. Never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about. Why do you... The important thing to remember is there was an onion tied to my belt, which was the fashion at the time.
Yes, this is true.
I'm old.
But yeah, it's
I keep, just... I'm getting... Because, everything else is in April. Why wouldn't San Diego Comic-Con be in April?
Back to the hotel thing.
Sure, why not? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Save me.
For those of you who had never had to book the hotels through this register, through Travel Planners, which is the registration site that Comic-Con uses... I have never either, but I know how it works. Basically, on the day that it's released, this year, of course, it was opened at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on March 24th, and only the fastest people that got on there and filled out their forms were the ones to get the closest hotels. Now, basically what happens is you go in there, you bring up a form, you fill out all your information, you pick your top three hotels, and then you hit submit. For your stay and everything, you hit submit.
Gotcha.
They go by timestamp. So they get all those back in, and they go by timestamp, and they take the timestamps, and they go who was first, who was second, who was third, and they go down the route for the hotels, and they look and see, okay, is your first hotel available? No. Is your second hotel available? No. Is your third hotel available? No. You know, that kind of thing. They just go down the list and see what's available. This year, though, there were apparently so many issues with the travel planners site was the fact that some people couldn't get the form was taking up to a minute or more to load, like fully load, to where you could actually do anything with it, and some of it was actually they were getting a bad form that would come up and wouldn't let them input all their information, or would just send for no apparent reason when they were trying to tab down, or you know, just ridiculousness. So the travel planners didn't know this was going on. So the unofficial San Diego Comic-Con blog or the San Diego Comic-Con blog, the sdccblog.com, had contacted them to say, hey, what do we tell our readers who are having this issue? And Travel Planners was like, there's an issue? And he's like, yeah, this is happening. They're like, oh, okay, well, just, you know, give our phone number out and tell them to call us, and we'll take their information.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So, apparently...
Famous last words.
Basically, what happens is it was told that they started telling people a lot of different things when they suddenly realized, oh, we are getting a crap ton of calls. Like beyond a ridiculous amount of calls. And it's just amazing to see what happened. I mean, what's been going on. This is why I say that
You and I argue about this, but I'm beginning to come around to your point of view where it probably needs to move.
It needs to move. And not only does it need to move, but I really hate to say it, for everyone that loves Comic-Con for what it is, the bubble really needs to burst on San Diego Comic-Con.
I mean,
it really, really needs to take a downward spiral. And I don't... I'm not saying that because I want to see people's lives ruined that work for the San Diego Comic-Con company and all that stuff. I don't want to see anything like that happen. But I think the bubble needs to burst for them to take a realistic look at things and go, oh, because they've been trying to get hotel rates down so they can... where was it? There was a quote in here that Comic-Con was basically saying... I'm trying to find it again. Basically, and I can't find the quote, but they were saying that they were trying to get the lodging down. Oh, here it is. They continue to strive to provide the best means to accommodate the growing number of people looking for lodging during the show. In fact, one of the major sticking points in their current negotiations to remain in San Diego are hotel rates. The incident cast a shadow on their efforts, and they're working with travel planners to ensure this type of situation does not occur again. The crappy thing, that's the thing that sticks to me, is they're still trying to get San Diego to, you know, San Diego is still trying to convince them to stay, and they're still wanting to stay in San Diego.
I'm not disagreeing that you're right, that it probably does need to move to someplace like Vegas.
Where right.
They can handle it. But, I mean, obviously San Diego wants them. Durr.
Right.
And, you know, I can see wanting to stay in San Diego for the sake of the fact that it is... The minute you move it's not San Diego Comic-Con anymore.
That's true.
And it becomes some other thing. And you know, that's the problem, is San Diego Comic-Con evolved naturally. It was organic.
Right.
And that's rare, particularly in this day and age. It's rare for something like that to happen organically and naturally.
I agree.
And if you move it, you're trying to start something, even though it's Comic-Con, even though, you know, it'll still be like C2E2, you know, which has grown.
Right.
But it'll be something that you're trying to launch inorganically.
Exactly.
And it's just, I don't know, it'd be hard. And it's not like San Diego's going to go without a Comic-Con.
Right.
They'll have something. You know, whether it's San Diego, they'll call it something, you know, San Diego Comic Expo or comic-related San Diego Gathering.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We talk about C2E2, and the guest list for C2E2 is growing. I mean, that's just in a few weeks. I mean,
we're about 4 weeks away.
Yeah, we're getting there. And the fact that there's been some interesting announcements, you know, former WWE superstar CM Punk.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, I like CM Punk. David Ramsey from Arrow.
Yeah.
Good old Diggle.
Yeah.
And
possibly Green Lantern spinoff.
Yes, possibly. Some Game of Thrones stars, including Finn Jones and Jason Momoa, who's also Aquaman.
That's kind of a big get.
Haley Atwell from Agent Carter.
That's a good get.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes.
Meh.
Matt Dillon and M. Night Shyamalan are going to be there.
Oh, wow. M. Night Shyamalan.
I know.
Are they giving him food?
Maybe.
Is that why he's showing up?
Nev McIntosh from Doctor Who.
I can see. She's Madame Vestra.
Yes, Madame Vestra. Sylvester McCoy.
Oh, Sylvester McCoy. Neat.
Sean Astin. So, yeah, a lot of
good Sean stuff Astin. To see. Woohoo.
Sorry. For those of you wondering, Dave and I have been talking for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we had program technical problems.
Was, was stalled at about 24 minutes. So I'm like, I was just thinking, I was like, man, we're getting close to getting ready to talk about fan questions. And I'm like, oh, well, the program decided it only record 24 minutes then. Wow. Like, oh, good. Going to be one of those nights, people.
I was pretty sure I had other things to talk about. But
oh, do you now?
Well, now I'm all, like, stressed out about the thing.
Understandable. What you missed that we talked about was Hallmark stores are offering up starting in August 2015.
You missed out indeed.
They're offering up new product based on Rainbow Bright. So there's new stuffed characters, new toys, books, all kinds of stuff coming to Hallmark in 2015. The new Funko Sesame Street Pop Vinyls. More of them were revealed, including Oscar, Bert, Cookie Ernie, Monster. Cookie Monster, who, like Dave was saying that you didn't hear, actually breaks the mold for them.
It's unusual because the Pop Vinyls have the little black eyes, and he has like googly eyes.
Yep.
As does Elmo.
Yes, and Elmo has the googly eyes. Elmo, the Count, regular Grover, to go along with the Super Grover, they've already showed off. Mr. Snuffleupagus and a Big Bird, both yeah, 6 inches.
Yeah, because they have that scale, because I have the Smaug.
The Smaug.
In that scale.
I
think that was... And then we saw like a rumored...
Oh, yeah, there's a...
Marvel Legends 5-pack, which looks like kind of tweaked figures that they've done before, but it was Thor and Cap looked pretty much straight up, and then a repaint of the Ultron that came out for Iron Man 3, and then a Hulk, which I think has a new head, and then an Iron Man, which I think has a variant head, and I think has a new head.
Yeah.
So and that's quickly running through 20 minutes worth of show right there.
Yes. Woof, woof.
Yes, yes.
Hot Toys has got they showed off their upcoming releases.
Oh my god!
Yeah, no crap. Including the Whiplash Mark II from Iron Man.
Oh well.
I think that's the I can't tell if that's the regular Avengers. I think it is the regular Avengers Iron Man. Age of Ultron because there's the broken Ultron body. So the Avengers
well,
Age
yeah,
of Ultron.
Yeah, you can just tell by the way it looks.
Yep. The
Age of Ultron cap.
Age of Ultron cap.
Because it's the it's a Winter Soldier uniform, but it's the classic Cap colors.
Yeah. Groot and Rocket statue, or I think maybe that's just Groot and Rocket, the figure. I was never too sure about that.
I don't know.
Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
That's got to hurt you.
Eh, not really.
Really?
No, I'm all right about it. You know, really, I am. I'm okay about it, because I didn't have the money at the time. I wouldn't have the money now. Even with the payment plan, it's just like, I don't really need it.
Really
it's cool.
You need it, but come on, you're like a huge Back to the Future super fan.
It's cool, but
You know what I saw? I think it was Sideshow. Kind of like I was surprised and disappointed. It was a Tauntaun for their 12-inch line,
right?
But it's a statue.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, Hasbro made a freaking articulated Tauntaun,
made a posable Tauntaun, and you guys
like, and you guys are charging. I think like I can't remember how much it was. It was over $100 for this statue. No, that's weak sauce.
It doesn't surprise me with Sideshow, though. They tend to do things like that.
Right? I guess. I mean, it's rare that Hasbro comes out looking good compared to anybody. But
well, technically, you just take the Hasbro Tauntaun because
those
what
are
I would pretty
do.
Affordable. And
that's what I would just do. Yeah, I would just take the Hasbro Tauntaun.
The Hasbro Tauntauns actually look pretty good. So,
yeah.
That would be the way to go. Just
that
be
would,
like,
that
yeah.
would be my advice to any of you yep. looking to... To seat your fancy schmancy Sideshow Hoth figures.
Yes, fancy schmancy indeed.
And if you need a do back, get the Hasbro one. Was the Jabba like a statue? I never got the Jabba.
I don't remember if it was or not.
I thought it looked like a figure.
I'm not sure. Oh, we were talking about Arrow earlier, and they just announced that Arrow star Stephen Amell actually landed the Casey Jones role in the upcoming Turtles 2 sequel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's a little old for that, but okay.
Well.
He's a little old for that.
He is, but come on.
They always kind of, he was always kind of paired up with April, although I guess she's pretty old.
Yeah.
I thought they announced casting for the crazy Madcap spinoff, too. Hawkwoman.
Oh, yeah, Hawkwoman.
And the guy who plays Rory is going to be Rip Hunter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is fascinating to me because you know there's going to be a Doctor Who. Because for those of you who don't know DC Comics, Rip Hunter is a time traveler.
Right.
And Rory, I can't remember the actor's name, but he was a character on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So you know there's got to be. They're going to have to do a joke.
Oh, yeah.
And then the worst thing is there's still one more unannounced. Because they said there were three roles that they were going to cast and announce.
Right.
I swear to God, if it's Booster Gold, I'm going to cry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to cry because we could have gotten Blue Beetle and it could have been Blue and Gold.
Yeah, I know.
It could have been my dream show.
We may still get Blue Beetle down the road.
Oh, please. Come on. He'd be perfect.
Although I do have to say that the Flash and Arrow...
That was great.
Oh.
That was... Because... Not Flash and Arrow, the...
well, both episodes.
Adams. I thought you meant Adam.
Well, Adam. But I mean, I was going to say both shows... Since they've come back from their little spring hiatus, have been really good.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, you know, we've always said that the Arrow, at least traditionally, picks up in the back half.
Yes.
And Flash has been picking up, too.
And boy, is it picking up in the back half.
Well, yeah.
And I've seen, spoilers for anyone that don't want to know, but there's been a set picture released of, has to be towards the end of the Flash season this year. So if you don't want to hear this, you might want to just jump ahead like 2 minutes. You don't want to hear this?
I don't know. Do I want to hear this?
Basically, the picture was you could see Wells in the Reverse Flash suit with the hood off. You could see his back, so you knew it was him. And then standing in front of him was Firestorm, was Flash.
Meh. Okay, Flash.
And was Arrow. But Arrow was wearing a new outfit that very much looked like League of Assassins.
You told me that.
Yeah,
You told me that at lunch.
Yeah. So... it looks like, you know, the back end of Arrow is going to kick it up a few notches, apparently. Or the back end of Flash, I should say, is going to kick it up a few notches.
Well, I mean, we've got the Trickster episode tonight with Mark Hamill.
Oh, God,
we've got Grodd.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are big guns.
I think Grodd's not going to show back up heavily until season two. I think he's going to be the big
guy. I wonder about that. Yeah, like, that's how I would do it, but I don't know with these guys.
So, and I don't know what they're going to do with Reverse Flash. I don't know if they're going to capture him and he's going to go into the hold, or if he's going to get away to fight another day.
Yeah,
or...
my theory is they capture him and he does the whole Hannibal Lecter thing, but I don't know.
I'd be all right with that because I love that actor.
I do too. I think he's really great.
He does an amazing job.
I think he's fantastic
on
that show.
God, Flash has been so good.
I love Flash so much.
And then I caught up on Gotham. Last week, finally. I hadn't watched that last episode. Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, look, they gave Fish her eye back, but it's different now.
Yeah, and then they completely squandered Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah.
That was, like, weird.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I guess he's not Hugo Strange after all.
No, it would have been nice if he was, but alas.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah, no.
Whatever. The big rumor is that she's going to get killed off.
Oh, well, that didn't surprise me.
They've already announced, like, a casting for, like, some high-profile new woman.
Oh.
Who's an actual character from the comics, so.
Good times.
Yeah, it's one I'm not familiar with. But
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been picking up. I think tonight's episode as we record, they touch on what was going on with Bobby and a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, including Edward James Olmos' character in the series, during Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, yep. Yeah.
During the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., so they finally go back and show us what was happening within S.H.I.E.L.D. at that point.
At this point, I'll probably just wait for it to come out on DVD and just binge both seasons.
Yep.
Probably how I'm going to do it.
So it's been pretty good this year. People are still complaining about S.H.I.E.L.D., how it's not what it could be and blah, blah, blah. And I think it's a wonderful show. And Daredevil starts here and...
Next week.
Yep, next week. I'll probably binge all that. Because I can't imagine it's only going to be unless they release the season in halves like they do some of their stuff. Although a lot of it they just release. But
you should you know what you should do is you should pick a good day and order maybe ask a friend to bring a pizza over and
we'll just binge together.
I mean, I'd like to see Daredevil, but I'm not going to buy into your filthy Netflix cult.
You're not
going to
buy into the wizardry.
No,
we can do that.
People are worse than Scientologists.
I could just give you my sign on. We could just sit at your house and watch it on the TV for the PlayStation.
Big screen TV.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Order some pizza and just hang out and be like, Daredevil. So.
Oh my God. Apparently that's what dudes do.
I know.
That's what
right?
Bros do. Just pretend that it's a sports match.
Yes. We just got to pretend it's that.
Paint our faces half red and half yellow for the original costume. Yeah. Go, Daredevil.
Wear a black mask because he wears a little ninja
outfit
for a while.
I know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's all right. It's good stuff, man. New Marvel Legends are coming, like, quickly.
Got it already. I think we talked about this at lunch, but yeah, it's already in my pile of loot.
The Thanos.
And I'm glad, because people were there at Toys R Us today, like, looking for those.
Really?
Oh, because, like, we've got all the Spider-Man, we've got the first wave of Avengers.
Right.
The guy ran in, and he's just rooting through.
Oh, my God.
Like, I know what you're looking for, Spunky.
Who was it? Was it somebody we know?
No, it's not somebody I know.
No?
Not somebody I recognize.
Hmm.
Dude with a kid. But it wasn't for the kid was too small. It wasn't for the kid. And then he got the... They had more of the Black Wave. He got a Bosk.
Oh, did he?
And there was another guy there. I mean, there was like... There were like people... There were like collector guys there who hit the aisles that we hit.
Right.
So...
Which that hasn't happened in a while.
It has not happened in a while. Usually they go right for the... what are those things called?
Skylanders.
And then the Amoeboids or whatever.
Yeah, the Amiibos.
Sure, them.
Yep. All I care about is getting the second wave of Combiner War stuff.
And I got that on pre-order.
It's got to be hitting here soon in this retail around here. It's got to be.
Is it out?
Oh, yeah, it's out.
Oh, is it out?
Oh, yeah, it's out.
Oh, okay.
It's just got to be hitting here sometime soon.
Next truck's Friday.
Ooh, they're different packages, too, this time, because there's comics in these now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'll keep my eye out for them.
Yep, because I want the rest of my
my
Stunticons, and yeah. I still need a... Still need...
Motormaster?
Yeah, I still need Motormaster.
I look.
Okay, so we're going to keep jumping around here, gang.
Well, I would have at least tried to do a nice edit on that. But yeah, the Audacity failed again.
We're having all kinds of
problems. Literally, I said check on Audacity, and he goes, oh, ugh.
Yep. So we're going to...
Just short version, Mike Irizarry's a jerk.
Yeah, Mike Irizarry's a jerk. We talked about how much we like Mike, but we just decided he was a jerk, so... I've been asked for a long time now to basically when we would have shirts available, and our friends Ben's Toy Bin actually started a store on Spreadshirt.com, and I thought, okay, well, I'll go take a look since, you know, I like them, and I plan on buying one of their shirts because that's, you know, we've supported each other, and they're a sponsor of Married to the Collection, so I went over and looked at the prices and said, prices aren't terrible. They're pretty decent for shirts. It's about the norm of what you'd pay for a t-shirt, really, these days. It was about $20. So I was like, all right, well, I'll start a store there and, you know, put up some, you know. There's only one design right now, but there's more coming. I do have some other ones in the
yeah, works. I almost wanted to do a thing, but the way things are going tonight, I don't know it would work, and I forgot to tee you up to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
But I was gonna suggest that we each come up with a couple of ideas and then let the fans vote on what the next one will be.
Yeah. So if you go to toyworldorder.spreadshirt.com, you can find the men and women's. The women have a few different shirts to choose from.
You know. What's up with that?
Well, they've got
first there were no women's shirts, and then suddenly they got more shirts than dudes.
Well, they have the fitted tank top, and the women's T-shirt, and the V-neck tri-blend, whatever, blah blah blah.
Whatever.
So women have a little bit more, but we have there's a hoodie and a premium T-shirt available on there right now of the Toy World Order logo, and I believe the back has the website.
You believe?
I believe, if I remember right, they do.
Okay.
I ordered a hoodie because I needed a new hoodie, and I've been wanting a new hoodie for some time, and I thought, well, why not just order a hoodie? I'll have it before JoeCon. I'll be able to wear it to JoeCon all weekend. Because I do love my hoodie, and I'll be able to take it to King County because it's always cold in the spring show at King County in the morning. So
it's always cold the King County fall show in the morning.
That's true. But yeah, if you go to toyworldorder.spreadshirt.com, you can find the shirts there. And actually, I've asked around to some of our artist friends about designing some shirts. I've got some ideas. You sent me an idea for one that I really like. So we'll get a list of stuff.
Yeah, that one specifically for the podcast. Like I like the idea of specifically doing things for like the podcast and specific things.
Right. I agree. So we've got some fun stuff lined up there. But yeah, toyworldorder.spreadshirt.com.
Buy them.
Yep, you'll find
me. I posted that in the thing. We need the little standout from the credit going, buy my shirt!
Oh, yeah.
Buy my shirt! Buy my shirt!
When he was trying to sell his book.
Yeah.
Buy my book!
You know, buddy shoots the thing. I'm like, what'd you do that for? All it said was, buy my book! Yeah. Turns a gun on him.
I miss the critic.
It was a good show.
It was a wonderful show. Made John Lovitz a star. Well,
as no, it didn't. Boy, that was way after his start.
Favorite. Yeah, I know. But yeah, there will be some more designs on there eventually. But I know a couple of people
eventually. Woohoo!
Well, here soon. But I know a couple of people have already ordered some shirts. And
cool.
Yep. So I'm excited to have shirts finally for us. It's been a while. I know when we first started the website, the West Coast Boys, who are no longer with us, really, really wanted to put a lot of money into making shirts. And having a bunch of shirts available at the time, and I was like,
I don't think our fan base would have supported it.
Yeah, there was no fan base to begin with, really, at that point anyway, so.
We had some. We had people who followed us over.
Yeah, and I was like, there's not enough of the fan base to really do this right now. So let's like let's focus on our content and our quality and everything. And now there's a large the huge fan base to allow us to do something like shirts and this way
I prefer to think of it as small but rabid.
Yes, and this way I don't have to order a crap ton of different sizes of shirts to, you know, they do it all for you. And honestly, we've never lied to you guys. I'll be straightforward. I only make about $1 a shirt. So it's not like we're making a fortune on shirts. But I wanted shirts available.
25 cents of which should go to your partner.
So we're not, you know, there's not a lot of money to be made on the shirts. But I wanted shirts to be available finally. And not to mention we're getting new bumpers made for the site. So we're getting all kinds we got all kinds of cool stuff happening. So
I remember you talked about that, but I didn't remember you didn't mention that at lunch. You mentioned the other stuff that you got, but you didn't mention lunch.
Yep.
Or the bumpers.
Yep. So we got some stuff coming.
Cool.
We got some good stuff.
Wow.
I'm thinking about. I want to know.
This is our year, man. We got to seize this.
I agree.
Got to seize this nonsense. I can't just rest on our laurels. We had one good week, but we got to build on. We got to build on that, man.
That's true.
You don't just go, wow, what? That was an amazing week. You build.
We
snowball.
We are building. We're building to some really cool stuff. So. I'm really looking forward to it.
You sound excited.
Well, I'm just...
You're bummed out about Audacity.
I am. I'm
giving you a hard time.
I'm watching it as we talk.
We're both watching it like a hawk.
Stupid friggin' program.
It's literally like we're trying to use our minds. It's like, work, keep functioning, you filthy thing.
I don't know what its problem is. I don't know why it decides...
We had another episode like that where it was just constantly cutting out.
Yep. Stupid thing.
So there's something else with it.
It's worked fine forever. Now it's like, hey, guys... I don't feel like working today.
And it just keeps shutting off for some reason. Must be something with your computer where you just...
Ugh, must be. Dumb computer. What do you say we answer? Well, do you have anything else you want to bring up and talk about?
Nah, I think I'm good.
Are you good?
I'm sure there's something I wanted to talk about, and I don't remember what it was now. Let's just get the fan questions while the getting's good.
Yeah. While this program's working, let's finish everything's still functioning. Guys. Good God, what a great show. Let's answer some fan questions. First one comes from Nisa Ventress, and she says, what are you most hoping to find on the vendor floor, JoeCon? I know Dave and I talked about this last week, but I know Dave's got some stuff he's hoping to find.
My list is short and ridiculously expensive. Basically, I'd like to get Superhero from Fun School.
Yes.
That's probably my main targeted get.
Yes.
I'd like to get a Dial Tone from the club, which I should have gotten as a member, but got gypped on that.
You were one of the many people.
People that did not get. Yeah, yeah, and those are worth all the money.
Yeah.
So that's on my list. And then in terms of like just kind of remotely normal Joe stuff, the one vehicle that I still kind of want to get is the Cobra Condor. I don't have that. It's one of the planes.
I'm trying to think which one that
it's,
is.
It's the goofy looking. It's like got a long neck and it splits into two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
I don't have that one.
Really. It's just kind of one of those goofy...
Yeah, no, I'm lying.
Well, one of those kind of those goofy vehicles that you're like...
It's on that borderline between goofy and
right.
So yeah.
Because it was towards the tail end of...
It was later era.
Yeah.
It was when things started switching over to goofy and bright primary colors.
Yeah,
those vehicles I can live without.
Eco-Warrior stuff.
I like Eco-Warrior stuff, but... Just there's a lot of like weird, just giant bulky vehicles that just bright greens and oranges and yellows. Yep.
You're like, oh my gosh, so many colors.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
The colors.
Yeah.
I don't know what if I'm not really looking for anything specific. You know, I'm very very clear that I'm not a huge Joe collector. But
why do you hate G.I. Joe?
I don't hate G.I. Joe. I just don't collect it. I'm just looking forward to see what all the dealers have, and I like looking at the stuff, even if I don't buy any of it.
Hopefully they have a lot of the cooler, like the first year I went, I don't remember the second year, but the first year, they had a lot of cool custom guys.
Yeah.
Those would be fun to see what they have.
Yeah.
Those are some amazing stuff.
Because you bought some custom stuff
that I first did year. Buy some custom yeah. stuff, yes. Yeah.
So, I'm kind of holding all my money back for King County and C2E2, you know, the following week and a half
I had my whole budget planned out way in advance, so I've got
right,
money for both.
Right. But, you know, I like looking to see what the dealers bring, and I know they'll bring a lot of stuff that isn't just Joe. They will bring a lot
They'll bring some stuff that isn't Joe.
Yeah.
There were dealers that, yeah, there were some dealers, but I mean, it will be primarily, Joe, and then stuff that Joe collectors would be interested in.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't want to say it's all Joe, but it's heavily Joe. So just be prepared.
I just want to go and enjoy.
And that's where they have the custom stuff too. Not the custom. They have like a contest for like dioramas.
Right. They have all that stuff.
That stuff's in there too. And that stuff's really cool.
Yeah, that stuff's cool. Chris Sheets says, if you could be a Joe, who would it be?
Wow. Who would you be?
Who would I be?
I'd be Sneak Peek because he's the fat one.
I'd kind of want to be Bazooka. I always kind of like Bazooka. I don't know why. He gets to chew bubble gum and shoot rockets. That sounds kind of fun to me. I mean, yeah, he's not the smartest cookie in the jar. But,
I wasn't going to say nothing. I
mean, come on, man.
Wasn't saying nothing. So you'd be killed in Resolute. That's so sad.
I would be killed in Resolute.
Was Resolute? Yeah, I was Resolute.
I would be. Cruz Millen says, what are your least favorite Joes? Characters, lines, etc.
Well, at the risk of breaking the heart of our good friend Dr. John Kent, Extreme is just not good. It's just terrible.
Well, I
assume he must love that ironically for being just horrible 90s kitsch. Because that's the only way you can love that line.
John's got the same sickness I have, where we see a horrible toy line and we see such beauty and magnificence in this awful line, and we're like,
"It screams 1990s." That's I will give you that.
Our buddy Don Blanco has been having some packages sent here because some people won't ship to him in the UK, and he's got some friends picking this stuff up at JoeCon.
Okay.
So I got a huge box the other day of almost pretty much every Tick figure ever made, and those are awful figures, but they are so beautiful and magnificent. In their cheesiness, that I love every one of them.
Hmm.
I was never a fan.
And we just talked how I didn't like the late 90s stuff.
Yeah,
or the late 80s.
I thought the Joe vs. Cobra stuff when it came out was cool, but I was never a fan of how
it looked. New Sculpt there was terrible.
Although I had a few of those figures. I did like the Destro a lot from that line.
Yeah.
But everything else, I was kind of like, until they went back to the O-ring style, but... I remember being very excited when those came back out, and I had some on my desk at work when I worked for Wells Fargo during that point, because Danny and I both worked for the same place, and on our lunches, we'd go to Toys R Us and go, oh, new Joes. So I remember those, but just the Joe vs. Cobra stuff just was not spectacular. Yeah,
new sculpt there was not super great.
Our buddy Alex Pasquale says, aside from, say, like lunchboxes, any kitschy or more obscure type of things in your collections that are not necessarily toys but related, for instance, commemorative plates, party table cloths, school binders, etc., anything like that, the porcelain Batman Superman salt and pepper shakers in my collection come to mind.
Well, at this point, I have a lot of random crap for Star Wars and G.I. Joe.
Yes, you do.
I've got, like, a C-3PO cookie jar.
Yep. A desk.
I've got a desk and a bookshelf.
Yeah.
I just got a dog collar for Casey. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, because I was looking for a collar for another reason. I'm like, ooh, a Star Wars collar. I'm going to get that.
Yep.
Well, and then I got the wrong size, and I'd already cut off the tag, so I have two. I have two.
Yeah, good job.
So, one's in the collection now.
Good
conveniently
job.
Enough.
Good job.
Whatever. Don't judge me.
I'm not.
I don't judge you and your Rainbow Brights.
That's true.
I have a box full of the Christmas tree ornaments for Star Wars. My mom... That was the rare meeting of the minds between us. And she was like, oh, look, Christmas tree ornaments, and they're Star Wars. I'm like, oh, okay,
yay.
I have the stupid, all the horrible Taco Bell toys from episode one, and the cup toppers.
Yep.
I have those in a storage bin. Yep,
those are
awful. I have a lot of random crap for Star Wars. And then with G.I. Joe, I have a lot of stuff that's like, if it's in a thin box and can go behind the figures,
yep,
there's a lot of stuff like that.
The board games.
And there's like a weird headset thing. It's like a communication headset. Yep, I've got the color form set for them. The laser tag set. So just weird all kinds random of stuff. Crap.
There's a lot of stuff that's downstairs in the collection that isn't toy. I mean, that's toy related, but it's not toys. I mean, I have old school folders like with Transformers on them, and... a lot of the stuff like the three puzzles that I have from Transformers and Voltron. I've got, all the coloring books I own that are downstairs and the kids' books. I have a bunch of movie posters for 80s stuff.
Movie posters.
I've got the original 27x40s for Transformers the movie, for Master Universe Secret of the Sword, for both Care Bears movies. For Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer, for My Little Pony. I mean, well, I've got, yeah.
I mean, I have Revenge of the Jedi, so.
Yes, that's true. You do.
I do.
An original Return an original, of the Jedi, yeah. Yes. Which cost all the money.
It cost a chunk.
Yes.
Not as much as you think, but it wasn't cheap.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in both of our collections that is very, very much along the same lines as it's toy related, but it's all. I've got some kids' pillowcases, and I do have some sheets downstairs underneath the sink downstairs that are kind of hidden away because there's no good way to display them. But like real Ghostbusters, and I think there's another one down there too, and I can't remember what it is. But
well, yeah, I mean, I have like folders. I have a spiral notebook from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've got like I think for my main two lines, I've got like a lot of random crap.
Yeah, and I just have a lot of random crap.
Yeah,
period. David Williams wants to know, what kind of gaming are you into?
What do you mean, David? Well, the safe word is banana.
Not wrong. Wrong gaming.
Well, that's why I was asking. I mean, I love I do love. I haven't played in ages. But I love role-playing games. I love, big fan of D&D, big fan of Shadowrun.
Yeah.
I never actually played Rifts, but I have, like, all the books because I love to read the books. So I love that stuff. I don't get an opportunity to play that much. But, yeah, I mean, I have one whole bookcase of D&D and one whole bookcase of, like, all the other games that I would buy. You know, Dangerous Journeys and GURPS. I have a bunch of GURPS books and
Turtles role playing. And
I don't have the Turtles role playing book. I really want that because it's Palladium.
Yeah,
and I've got one or two source books that you can use with Rifts
because it's compatible with.
It's semi compatible, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, because my favorite game actually was a combination of two other Palladium games: Ninjas and Super Spies and Heroes Unlimited. So I've got those, and in terms of like, you know, the other thing, I mean, I've got a PS3, and I loved GTA 5, I loved Far Cry 4, I yes. really love Far Cry 4, I had a lot of fun with that, the Batman games,
yeah,
that's probably why I'll get a PS4, is
for the new Batman,
friggin' Arkham yep. Knight.
Don't get rid of your PS3, because PS4 doesn't play Blu-rays.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't think it's a blue. No, maybe it is a Blu-ray player.
What the hell, man? I thought the Xbox One played Blu-rays.
I know it's not backwards compatible with PS3 stuff, so I might be wrong on that because I haven't paid that much attention to PS4 because I'm like, I really don't want one.
I don't want one either, but I want to play Batman.
That's true.
Although maybe because they released. I think maybe we're too far gone now, but I was surprised that Far Cry 4 came out for
PS3.
For PS3.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll be honest, because of bored, I'm pretty much gamed out on everything that's gaming, period. Because since I write all the scripts and have to film all the games and all that stuff, I don't want to think about playing a game, whether it's a controller in my hand or dice. I really don't now.
You know, my South Park Stick of Truth back then.
I've played some of it, and I need to give it back to you, because I never have time to put it in the PS3 and turn it on anymore. I don't even, like I was before that, I was playing,
You're playing Uncharted, weren't you?
No, I beat Uncharted. That was last year. No. I was playing the last game I was playing was Lego Batman 2 because I don't have 3, so I was playing Lego Batman 2.
And, I played that on my computer.
Yeah, I didn't get very far. So, that was about around the time that was about the time Chase got sick, and right after that is when I just didn't have time to do it anymore. So,
and Skyrim, I really really loved Skyrim.
Skyrim was fun, yeah.
So,
but usually when I game. I really like video games a lot. I like old classic arcade games. I never got into a role-playing game. I think that's one thing that makes me saddest that I think Dave and I could bond even more over as best friends is the fact that if I was in... Well...
You just want to sew us together?
No, I'm just saying if I was into role-playing games, it'd be the best of both worlds. But I just have never... Not that I'm not smart enough for role-playing games, I just have never was able to get into them. I think the closest I got was HeroQuest, which... spoiler alert for those of you, we will be covering next season on board.
Okay.
So I think that was the closest I ever got was HeroQuest. So, but beyond that, I just never.
That's funny too because I would rate one of your biggest strengths as an improviser.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
As a performer improviser, and that's a big part of. Ironically, it's one of my biggest weaknesses, but that's a big part of being a role-playing gamer.
And I think a lot has to do with the fact that all the stats and stuff
is
hard for me to keep track of. Cause
yeah, I was never a numbers guy. I was never into the rule lawyering thing.
Yeah, I'm not a... Not a numbers guy at all.
Yeah, I would always irritate my fellow players because I'd have to ask how things worked 90 times.
Yep. Our buddy Mike Irizarry says, am I on this week? Yeah, exactly. Am I on this week? Are you guys just going to continue to pretend to not know me?
Who's that guy?
I don't know, Mike.
Ironically, we said something about him in the portion that got cut.
We did.
And we actually said something nice about you last week, Mike. Go back and listen. We actually said that you were kind of the voice of reason amongst the Joe community.
That's true.
So we've mentioned you. I mean, hopefully we'll have you on next week when you're up here.
Yeah.
If you can survive the arduous journey to the darkest
to the darkest
Midwest.
Oh my goodness. Good old Mike. We love you, Mike.
We do love you, Mike.
You goofball. We give each other a hard time, but gosh dang it, we love you, you big douche.
Wow.
I know. That was a loving big douche.
You okay.
I'm good. I meant to say big dude.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm not going to cut it out either, gang. I meant to call him Big Dude.
To use role-play terminology, you rolled a one on that one. That was a critical fumble.
Oh, my God. Mike, I love you. I'm sorry. I did not mean to call you that. I meant to say Big Dude. I tried to cover for it.
That's what you call a Freudian slip. That's what you.
It's not going to cover for me. He's going to hold that above my head for some time now.
Oh, who, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, he's a big douche like that.
Our buddy Cam I. Clark from Canada.
Yeah.
He says, hey, guys. Hey.
I'm not your guy, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, guy.
No, I'm not your buddy, friend.
Oh, see, I can never get that right.
There's three of them.
Dang it. What cartoon show or movie would you like to see more figures released from the line based on the major players, co-stars, and villains? Not including Star Wars, because let's face it, they've managed over the years to release almost every character from all six movies.
Star Wars.
Thanks, keep up the great work. Still, I'm hoping that Funko gets some Back to the Future figures out there.
You know, like...
Some 6-inch scale ones.
I remember we were so hopeful about the Star Trek ones, and then I got them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, these are just not getting better. Because the Funko has a lot of licenses I would want. I would want a Star Trek line. I would want a really good, comprehensive Star Trek line. I would buy the crap out of that. Aliens is my dream line. Aliens in the style of the modern era G.I. Joes.
Mm.
Is just an absolute. Ironically, I don't even really want the aliens because I mean they've been done so many times.
You want the humans.
Hiya Toys did them for the recent game, Colonial Marines, and they're really well done. But I mean, I just want like a Vasquez and a Drake, and I would kill for an APC and a dropship.
Yep.
You have no idea how if Funko did those, like did the dropship and the APC, I would still buy them.
Yeah,
those are my dream. It's frustrating because those Action Fleet ones are like worth so expensive. And I've got the dropship, and I've got the Narcissus. I want an APC so bad.
Yep.
Like, I that would be one if I found that at King County. That would be, like, a day-ending thing. It would be, like, done.
You're
sold.
Like, done. Gotta go home now.
Yeah, but Aliens is a big one. Star Trek is a big one. You got any of your...
You know, I thought about
this. You said Back to the Future 6-inch scale.
Yeah, Back to the Future 6-inch stuff, because Mattel promised that to us and never delivered. Which, like, thankfully...
You gotta have the car, man.
Yeah, you do. You have to.
That's why I would like a second pass of that, like in 4-inch scale, because you gotta have the car.
Hopefully, Diamond Select is smart enough to go, you know, we can make the car and not have it cost $100
maybe
or more, because I think the Mattel one was going to be like $170 or something.
Was Mattel actually going to do a car? I thought they weren't going
to
do a car.
If they got to a certain degree, they were going to do one. And
I'd never heard that. I'd heard they weren't doing a car.
No, they were. They had a
like a huge debate we had. They were doing the Ecto-1,
right?
Remember that?
Yeah.
And then we got this huge argument.
Oh, that's what I meant with Ghostbusters. I'm sorry. I meant Ghostbusters.
I'm sorry.
I
was like, that's weird.
No,
I remember they specifically said, because we had this whole thing about how, to me, Back to the Future needs the car. Ghostbusters doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I know that people have argued that no, you need the car for that. It's like, no, you don't. You need the characters, but you don't need the car. The car is important, but you don't need it.
Yes.
You need the car for Back to the Future. The car is Back to the Future.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I'd probably have a 6-inch Back to the Future scale, and, God, I don't know. I guess I've always kind of wanted a Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, my God. Like, even Funko, I would buy the crap out of that.
Yeah.
Like, just to have them. Kind of like Big Trouble. Like, I love that movie so much.
Yep. I would want Buckaroo Banzai.
I would buy the crap out of that one.
That's such a fun movie. Then last but not least, John Solo says, last week you guys mentioned going to Aldi's to find the He-Man vs. Snake-Man figures.
Yep.
Reminded me that I found those figures at a Burlington coat factory. What are some of the weirdest stores you find hard to find figures?
I remember the last wave of the Indiana Jones figures came out at Myers.
Yep.
Which isn't really oddball, but that's about as oddball as it got. You know, nowadays it's like you go to TJ Maxx.
Yeah.
And you get the rare stuff. Like, yeah. A month. Like our what is it? Five Below? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Five Below.
It's like filled with Falcon figures from Captain America.
Yeah, that you couldn't find.
That you couldn't find anywhere. It was just packed with them.
I remember finding a bunch of, like, Transformers, the last animated series that came out. They had a bunch of, like, rare ones that I never saw.
Well, and then we got that last wave of Joes that had the Night Viper, and like for a while there, I was the Night Viper king.
Yeah.
And then our Toys R Us got all those figures then, too, and then suddenly it was like, everyone else got the other wave of stuff that had interesting figures.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'd like some of those, please.
Trying to think of if there's anywhere other than, like, Aldi's that's been a weird, like, I've seen, you know, of course, Walgreens in the past is a weird one to have figures now, or to at least to have figures exclusive to them, which is really odd, but they sell really well.
Well, yeah, because I still can't find a Spider-Man 2099. It's driving me crazy.
I know it wasn't weird for the time, but, you know, I always like to share the story of in the 80s, as a kid, going into, we have a local, I don't know if it's a nationwide chain or not, I know it's not, but a lot of the local ones here are owned, or like, franchise owned, but the local True Value Hardware, in the 80s, they had a section, I remember just after Empire Strikes Back coming out, they had a whole section of, like, Star Wars toys, and they sold Transformers and G.I. Joe. I remember going with my mom and stepdad around the time that Hasbro's Cops and Crooks had been out, and they had, the line was pretty much dead. It wasn't any in retail anymore, but I remember going into a carpet store, of all places, and in the basement, while my parents were looking, they were like, hey, we got some toys downstairs if you want to go look while your parents will look. And downstairs, they hadn't even pulled them out of the cases. They just had full cases of Cops figures sitting on the shelves, like, just sitting there. And I'm like, oh my God, I want a long arm, because I didn't long arm, but I didn't get any. But a lot of weird places like that. But recently, though, anymore, every store has toys of some shape, form, or nature. Especially at Christmas time, you go to a lot of the Farm and Fleet.
Farm and Fleet has some cool, weird toys. I like Farm and Fleet.
They have some very oddball stuff, but anymore, not like it was in the early 2000s, where that wave of Master stuff seemed to only be available for the short time at Aldi's and apparently at Burlington Coat Factory, like just weird, oddball, crazy stuff. And I've seen oddball stuff at, like, you go to Six Flags, and there's, like, figures on the shelves there that are way too much money, but it's like, I never saw these in stores, holy crap. Or you go to somewhere like Chuck E. Cheese or something, and one of the prizes they have is, like, here's one of those really hard-to-find figures just hanging on Chuck E. Cheese's wall. So it's some really odd stuff. But, yeah, nothing really...
I was going to go back to something you were saying and tie it into something earlier. For me, it was Black & Company, which was a hardware store here in town.
Yep.
Had a thing in the back with all the role... That's where I got all my role-playing game stuff.
They're still around.
Are they? Like, I thought they went out of
No, they're still
business.
Around. Nope, they've got a store off 6th Street.
Huh.
Right back there off 6th and Stevenson Drive here in town.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. And then, of course, going back to even that, I always think about, oh, God, what was that comic book store that was back by Shoba's Pizza Place on MacArthur?
Metropolis or Gotham?
No, it must have been Metropolis Comics at the time when they were still back.
I know they had one out kind of by the hospital. Off of Walnut.
Yeah.
That was where they first had it. And then I think they moved to 6th Street.
Well, I remember Metropolis being back...
I think you're thinking of Gotham. Because Gotham was kind of out...
No.
Was behind...
This was...
Or maybe this is way before my time.
Yeah, this was in the 90s. This was late 80s, early 90s, and they were...
Well, that's about when I was going to Metropolis, and they were off of Walnut.
Well, they would have been... At this point, they would have been back behind the middle school off of... MacArthur, and that shopping mall where Shoba's Pizza Place and now Chuck E. Cheese is there. They had a little comic shop back there, and I think that was Metropolis at one point. I remember going in there and seeing they used to carry, it seemed like, more role-playing games and vinyl model kits than they did comics at that point. So
maybe. Yeah, they always kind of had role-playing games.
Yeah. You know,
and to this day, Route 66 or whatever had role-playing, had like one little shelf of role-playing game stuff.
Something I wanted to talk about earlier that I forgot that I stumbled across after we recorded last week that I linked to on the fan page was, you know, there's been so much discussion. I'll try to keep this a little short as we wrap up. But there's been so much discussion about the Ghostbusters reboot and the other reboot that they're doing. They're doing a female and a male reboot.
The two boots.
Yeah, the two boots. That around that time that there was a rumor that Max Landis had written a Ghostbusters screenplay.
Oh, I saw you post that, yeah.
And Max was like, he's like, I'm not writing this. I never did this. But in essence, he decided, okay, well, people think I did. Why don't I just give this a shot? I'll write a treatment just for my own enjoyment to see if I, you know, as a exercise in sequels and, you know, continuity and all that good stuff and franchises. And he wrote this treatment and he finally last week posted it on his blog for everyone to read for free. Just because he's like, hey, here's this treatment I wrote just for fun when people were saying, hey, Max Landis is writing Ghostbusters and I wasn't. And I read it, and honestly, I would have gone to see that Ghostbusters film in a heartbeat if it was real. Because did you get a chance to read it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my. It basically did such a good job on tying up the last two films. And the fact that it set up, it would have set up the franchise for the future, basically. And the basic idea of it is that Ghostbusters are now a government-owned program. There have been several franchises all around the country.
So it's like the role-playing game.
Yep, except that there hasn't been a ghost to bust in 10 years. Everyone's pretty much gone out of business. The government shut a lot of them down, like... You know, the only ones that are still open are the New York and the L.A. branches. And the L.A. branch is still getting by because they do public appearances and all that stuff, and they make a lot of money off that. And the New York one is only still open because of Ray. And Ray's the last Ghostbuster around. Egon passed away in this version.
That's pressing. You know,
yeah, well, yeah, he was gone. Winston was now a multi-billionaire. Peter, I guess, had basically Peter basically took the money from the government, ran, and never looked back, and no one's heard from Peter in years.
That also sounds right.
So it's just Ray trying to keep the New York branch afloat. And the idea is that a government...
When did he write this thing? Recently, or...?
It would have been within the last 6 months he wrote it.
Okay, that makes sense.
But his little thing opens up with... Because
that kind of matched up to the way the real world was playing out, yeah. A little too close.
His little treatment opened up in the past with Ivan Shandor, who anyone who's watched Ghostbusters, I believe I got the last name right. The first Ghostbusters,
I think you got the first name wrong.
Yeah.
I think it was Ivor Shandor.
Ivor Shandor. He was the Gozer follower that built the building. That Dana lived in, and they used to have, sacrifices and stuff.
Yeah, cult
up there.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yep. The story opens up with him and his cult, and him killing the person whose ghost would become Slimer, and then it jumps forward to.
I've heard about that before. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it jumps forward to, you know, there's these new Ghostbusters and they're working with Ray, and Ray's kind of trying to keep things afloat, and he's trying to keep the, you know, the spirit of Ghostbusters alive, and the other Ghostbusters don't get along. Egon's had a daughter.
Oh, wow.
They never say whether it was with Jeanine or not, who is still working there, but he's had a daughter.
She hooked up with one of the few major issues I had with the second movie is she hooked up with what's his name?
Yeah, she hooked up with Lewis. But Egon's had a daughter.
Non-canonical.
She's a ghost. She's a Ghostbuster now, and she's using like radio waves, like static, to try to contact her father. Basically, that's a major story point.
Well, that would have been great if Harold was still around to do that.
Well, the way he worked into the script, though, you would have only needed, you know.
Oh, they would have two-packed him. Boo.
Well, not even that. It's just his voice that makes an appearance, but. It was really good. That was a really good, wrap up to the whole series. You know, the government the military actually has this black ops program. They try to get the New York Ghostbusters to sell to them the technology because they want the ghosts in the containment unit. Because they're the only Ghostbuster franchise with ghosts in a containment unit. No one else. None of the other Ghostbusters ever call it a ghost.
Okay.
So they've got all the ghosts in the containment unit still, and this black ops company wants a ghost to basically they want to reverse engineer it to make them weapons, and you know New York, you know Ray refuses, so they go to L.A. And L.A. agrees, and they decide, oh, wait, well, we don't have any ghosts, so we need New York's help. So they go to New York to try to release a ghost. Around this time, Slimer shows back up, and then they actually get a call to bust a ghost, the first one in 10 years. And they go and bust it, and while they're doing that, the L.A. guys sneak in and release. They don't just release the ghost in the containment unit. The entire firehouse implodes and, like, is destroyed. There's nothing but rubble, and all the ghosts are free. And, you know, one of the other Ghostbusters is having visions, and Slimer's trying to help him, and, you know, all this other stuff. And it is really cool the way that it all wraps up and ends is, you know, Winston comes back to help save the day. Ray, feeling lonely, tries to call Venkman. And the way he wrote it is all you ever see is the back of a beach chair and a guy's head, and the phone rings, you know, and it's Ray's picture. And the guy, you see the hand pick up the phone, and then he just hits deny and puts the phone back down. So he never even takes Ray's call. So you wouldn't even never even had to have Bill Murray in it to begin with. It was really cool, though. Like, Ray ends up being the big hero of the whole series. And for anyone who wants to read it, I won't reveal what happens. You know, the Ghostbusters are back. You know, Walter Peck was the mayor. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a nice little wrap up to the history and all that stuff. So it was pretty cool. But Max Landis just proves why he's one of my favorite authors, because he's got a special style, I think, that works really well. So I know you liked World War Z a lot.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
So
sorry, there's just like all kinds of news breaking out about JoeCon.
Oh,
which
good.
Which is kind of
something we need to talk about while we're
Well, they put up a FAQ. It's, how much money should I bring to buy all of the 2015 convention exclusive souvenirs? Costs have gone up because of the complexity of the debt. Oh, and they canceled the parachute drop.
Oh, did they?
They're going to sell them at the thing, but it's there is also an additional souvenir item this year and one that is a large vehicle. If you want to get one of everything, you will need approximately $600 for the 3¾-inch items.
Wow.
And $200 for the 12-inch items.
Wow. And that's just beyond what you've already paid for the box set, right?
I'm assuming so.
Wow.
I had $400 budgeted.
Wow.
And then there was another thing about what Hasbro will really unveil new G.I. Joe product for an SDCC exclusive and a TR, or Toys R Us exclusive, run in the fall. Nothing earth-shattering, but now we have a little better idea of what to expect. So basically, if you really understood anything about what was going on, exactly what you expected. Comic-Con and another Toys R Us exclusive line.
Gotcha.
But yeah, like, the parachute drop is canceled. You can buy, I guess you can buy the figure. I didn't see that question. I saw people talking about it.
Yeah, you'll be able to
see what happened was someone said the parachute figure $600, and I was like, what?
Huh.
Clicked on the thing, but it's $600 for everything. Wow. Gadzooks.
That's a lot of money, man.
Like I said, I was planning on four. Yeah, the venues we were trying to get for the drop did not work out. You should come to my house. Therefore, there'll not be a drop this year.
Yeah, no crap. That's sad, but I can't imagine.
It will be very close for everyone to get a figure.
Yeah.
Basically, it'll be like last year, where those are worth all the money.
Yep. Looks like they sold out the golden tickets in 5 minutes.
It's about between where I'd heard and what I thought.
Yeah, so. Sad about the parachute drop.
Yeah, that sucks. That was the first one I was actually going to go to.
But then again, I can't imagine where they would have had it downtown that would have worked, because it's windy as crap downtown. And I don't know where they would have been able to stand high enough to launch them that they wouldn't have gotten caught or dumped in the street or, you know. I know at one point they were talking about doing it on top of, there's a skyway now that connects the Lincoln Hotel to the Prairie Capital Convention Center that didn't used to be there. And they were talking
Lincoln Hotel, there were a couple of, like, overlooks of the lobby. You could have done something like that.
Yeah, well, oh well. At least it'd still be available. I guess that's all that matters in the long run.
In the end, that is what it is. But it's one more. It just sucks. It has to be my hometown. That's the worst one ever.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out next week, won't we? Oh, well. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap it up for Dave and I.
Yeah, a little breaking news before we finish it up.
Yeah, a little breaking news before we finish it up. It's going to break it up for that's going to wrap it up. Wrap it up for us. Make sure you check out our sponsor, Shellhead Comics and More, at shelleheadcomics.com. Please check out our sponsor. You know, they have a lot of stuff. Yes, they are. They have a website. Yes, they are pretty much strictly an eBay type store. But their prices are really good, and they've got a lot of really cool stuff. I mean, he does carry a lot of cool stuff, a lot of Joe stuff, a lot of vintage stuff, a lot of toys. There's a lot of stuff to look at and choose from there, and his prices are really pretty good. So make sure you check him out. And then make sure you check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look up Toy World Order. You'll find both this show and Married to the Collection. Also, make sure you go to toyworldorder.spreadshirt.com and order your Toy World Order shirt. And make sure you keep bookmark that page and keep an eye out. Bookmark that page and keep an eye out, as we will add new designs from time to time, as well as there are Puppet Devolve shirts coming. There are board shirts coming. Yep, there are board shirts coming.
All right. this is a piece of the pie.
We're gonna put some Bigfoot shirts up there. We're gonna make some. We're gonna make some fun shirts.
That'll be interesting. Yes. I'm wondering how you're gonna do that.
I'll find a way.
I mean, I assume it'll have to be original art.
Yeah, so we'll figure it out. Dave and I are gonna talk about some ideas after we get off here. We've got some cool stuff coming. So make sure you do that, gang. And until next time, gang, we'll be back next week with the final show. Right on the opening day of JoeCon. Wow,
stunned me there for a second.
Sorry, with the final show ever.
Final show before JoeCon.
No.
Yeah, this is a month, like, this is the last kind of clunker before, I think we're going to have a pretty good run of shows after this.
Yep, I think so. I will talk to our buddy Robert Atkins. He should be done with the Joe comic by then. Maybe he'll.
One would hope.
I would hope so.
One would hope.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be able to.
They got to print the thing.
I know. He'll be able to come hang out with us next week while we prep and hype for JoeCon. So
hype.
Gang. Until then.
Can I say it now?
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
And the Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.